Welcome back to CWC Dive Deep. Join us today as we take a deeper look into this past week's sermon discussing how we can pursue God and grow in our faith. I'm your host, Caleb Swartz, and joining me today is Pastor Arley. Welcome back, Pastor Arley.
Thank you, Caleb. It's good to be here.
Glad to have you.
Thank you.
So, great sermon yesterday. Really enjoying the study of 2 Timothy and 1 Timothy together.
Thanks. Me too.
Every week, I mean, certainly there's a lot of takeaways for myself, but we always like to know, when you prepared this week, what was your main takeaway?
I particularly like the kind of the detail. I think it was letter D
that
was in the outline. I particularly like that because I think a lot of times when you go through listings, you just kind of skim through them and you don't think about very much depth to it. But I really felt the Holy Spirit like kind of opened my own mind into a deeper kind of thought process in regard to that listing. That the listing not only was, you know, what kind of closing salutations, greetings that Paul wanted to give, but they were particularly self-revealing.
Yeah.
And so looking at it as being self-revealing, I thought, okay, now I know a little more about Paul. And then what is the takeaway that I could be able to get? And I didn't exactly know how to do it in my outline, so I kept skimming back and forth, because first I wanted to really say, here's what the verse says, here's what Paul is telling us, here's what we're learning about Paul, and then what's the takeaway that we could get out of it that would apply to us?
Right, because, I mean, so often as we're reading through these books, we're looking at the major, you know, theological truths or the conviction pieces, or,
yes,
you know, how does this inform us on how to live? And
yes,
we get to that end and we're like, oh, closing remarks, and you move
right
on.
Right. And sometimes you almost don't read the closing remarks.
Yeah.
Because they don't seem as pertinent or as valuable. And yet if you read that little word, all scripture is given for all scripture.
Mm.
So that little word A-L-L, has a significant kind of meaning in this application. And then to say, okay, so what does this teach us? So to try to understand, maybe Paul is a superhero, wrote half the New Testament.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, he has to be recognized in that way. Then trying to understand like a little bit more personally about him, what God would say to us through that. So I guess that's where I was going with all that. And I felt like it was speaking to me as well as I felt it would really speak to others.
Yeah, well, it was so telling. And so, I mean, as you were talking about it, I just kept picking up on kind of the vulnerability of Paul at this point. And not vulnerable in the sense of, you know, he's open and easy prey, but just he's not seeing the need to be as guarded anymore. Or maybe he's just softer. Talk about, you know, just the different levels of forgiveness that he was kind of throwing out there.
Yeah.
And what that tells us.
Yeah. Like, I thought it was really important that Luke is the recorder of Acts. Mm-hmm. Luke is also probably the recorder of Timothy, because he said, only Luke is now here with me. So he probably had some kind of decision-making process of selectivity of what was included in the writings. And so Luke tells us that he had that sharp disagreement that was over Mark, that Mark couldn't join them. It was so sharp, obviously, Paul said, no, you know, he's not proved himself in the past. He's not coming.
Mm-hmm.
Where Barnabas felt like, no, I don't see that as his character. I see him deeper. I see there's more that could be a part. Well, they just couldn't agree. And so they divided their missionary travels. Now he says, you know, Mark could be useful to me, and I could see that. So I think we're looking at a more maybe grace-filled Paul than what we were looking at an earlier time period, you know, over Mark, for example.
Yeah.
And so then when he says, you know, I went before the judge and everyone abandoned me, Now, he must have had those feelings of abandonment.
Right.
Or he wouldn't have even made note of it. Mm-hmm. However, he says, I don't want that to be held against them. So I think it's important that we understand he had those feelings. He's expressing those, making sure we know those.
Right.
And then he's saying, but I want them to have grace also. Yeah. I want them to be forgiven. I don't want it to be held against them. So in other words, he held that against Mark back in the early days of his ministry. Mm-hmm. But now in the latter days, he's not doing that. And I think there, you know, as we mature in our own personal journeys, I think we extend more grace mm-hmm. than what we did early on. And I know for myself, I know that's very clear. I would definitely err on the side of grace today more than when I was younger mm-hmm. and had real strong opinions on everything.
Yeah.
I think I'm softening in the sense of not letting down boundaries and, mm-hmm. and not upholding the word of God, but in judgment decisions.
Yeah.
I think I've kind of become a different person. And I think that's all part of that growing, maturing, loving kind of person that needs to happen for all of us.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's difficult because I see myself more as like the younger you, where I recognize that, boy, sometimes I just feel so firm and unmoving. And
right.
Like, if I understand this, why can't other people
why aren't they doing
and make
that?
Those choices
they
too?
They just need to get their act together.
Yeah, come on, seriously, come on. Grow up.
Yeah, yeah, all that.
But it's just, you know, it's, yeah, you don't know as much as you think you know.
No.
And we don't realize everything that people are going through. And I think that's maybe the just more understanding on our part as we journey. But I do wonder how much of Paul's kind of softness was developed because he knew he was close to the end. Is there any, you know, maybe a sense of trying to reconcile all things before it's closed out? Or do you think it's really more the mark of just maturity?
I think when you kind of come to life and death circumstances, I don't care who you are, what age you are, when you come to those, I think you start to evaluate what's really important in life. Mm-hmm. What do I really need? Is all of this as important as it seemed to be? I do think you start to look at it differently. And I think that was true. And I think that's, we're seeing Paul say that, you know, he's been poured out and, you know, as he's looking at, you know, his whole life, he's fought the good fight and, you know, he wants to be remembered as being faithful. And so I think he's kind of weighing all of the different things that are a part of his life to say what was really important. And I think that comes with age, but sometimes it comes with circumstances. Mm-hmm. And, you know, because every one of us, like I think from time to time, as I said, no matter the age, we go through some difficult things and suddenly things that were important to us at one time aren't so important anymore. Hmm. And we start to think, what really matters? What really matters?
Right. And so we talk about the things that Paul asked for, which kind of showed the value of what, you know, he saw as valuable material-wise. So I know you had put out there to a number of people just asking what things they would take.
Yeah.
But I'm certain people are curious, Pastor Arley. What three things would you take or ask for, I suppose?
You know, I realize probably by mission work, some by traveling, some by our own just kind of process thinking, there are so few things that are really valuable. Hmm. So few things that are really needed. if I took my cell phone, which I have practically all of my world on my cell phone, including a Bible, including all of my notes and all of kind of information, I take lots of those kinds of things there. So that would kind of be my papers and my books mm-hmm. that would all be in there. So However, as was noted this morning in our team meeting, if I didn't have a charger, I would be totally left useless with this little box that has nothing now because it's dead.
It's a good paperweight.
So there would definitely be the importance of a few things that would be, you know, like there are times when I've gone out to just kind of spend time alone with God, and I've liked to take a hymn book and a Bible.
Yeah.
And just to be able to think on other words and other things and then his word. So, you know, there aren't a lot of things that I would end up coming up with a list. Yeah. If there were personal need, personal items that were needed, sure. But I could pack pretty lightly if I needed to. I tend not to. I tend to overpack because I keep thinking, do I need this? Do I need this?
Right, to be prepared.
Yeah. Yeah. I used to take 3 or 4 books on vacation. And my wife would say, why do you do that? You never get to read them anyway. You're always talking to somebody.
Right, yeah. Well, just in case.
And I said, yeah, I just never want to be bored. I want to make sure I always have something I can do. You know, so I've kind of become more reasonable and all that. But I think that that's part of that sorting through process we all need to do to find out what's really valuable and important to you.
Yeah.
Because people collect things and we don't. Sharon and I don't collect things. We're not collectors, really. We have lots of great memories, but and pictures, you know, that are there. Of course, those are all on my phone, too.
Well, and that was my thought. It was the one thing that I thought was, well, if I can't take my phone, let's assume that that's out of this. I'd love a picture of my family today.
Yeah.
I think it, just one would be enough.
And there are some things that, you know, they kind of fade, like, in your mind if you don't have reminders of them.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. So, yeah, there are some things like that that I would, but it would be really hard to come up with 3 exact things.
Yeah, but a great challenge, though. It really does make you sit and think.
I heard lots of people talking about it. Yeah. We even went to lunch and passed a couple, and they said, oh, we've just been talking about the message this morning. I said, oh, okay. And I could tell they were dealing with, what are the 3 things?
Yeah. So all that great information and what everybody walked away with was, what 3 things would I want in prison with me?
I'm on an island. What do I need?
Yeah. Well, are there any kind of a final challenge that you want to leave listeners with this week?
I guess probably my importance of finishing strong is probably what I would say Paul was trying to really communicate to Timothy. Timothy being younger, Paul being older, he was still communicating that message. Because I really feel that even at a young age, certain patterns and certain thought processes and what you develop, even at a young age, impact who you are at an older age. And so I would just really encourage people to sort through what's really important, no matter what stage you're at, because it's going to impact how you finish. And so your values, your priorities, your choices, you know, what you allow into your life, what you put out, it's all going to become part of that. So, you know, like I've always been, and Sharon and I both have always been very giving. We love to give. That's only increased as we've had greater capability. We didn't have a lot in the beginning, but we still gave a lot because it was all part of it. So whatever you start early, continue to keep doing those, and it'll become a greater part of who you are as you age, and you'll finish stronger.
Yeah, that's so much of what was impressed on me when you gave the invitation at the end, just to stand to, for those who desire to finish well. I mean, man, I shot right up, and I think I did because I recognized I've got a lifetime of work ahead of me, and I don't want to miss things. I want to keep that end goal in mind.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure for those that are at the point where they're ready to finish strong. It was a great, but man, it was terrific for me to hear that challenge too.
Awesome. Yeah.
So I was really encouraged. But anyway, thanks for spending some time with us, Pastor Riley.
Thank you. First and Second Timothy have been great.
Yep. And thanks for joining us today on CWC Dive Deep. I hope you were encouraged today. Join us next Monday as we begin our new series, I Am. And if you missed last week's episode, be sure to check that out on cwc.life, where we provide you with sermon notes, weekly study material, and other great messages to dive into. Have a great week.